Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
For all in a go status,
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Welcome back to the Joel Blank Show. This is Barry Laminack. We'll be joined by Joel in just a second. Got Nick Sharara behind the glass. How you doing, Nick?
What up, man? What's going on?
Good, man. You seen any creepy clowns lately?
I've seen a few.
Have you? Have you really?
On the interweb.
Oh, okay. Because that's a thing that's going around now. And I don't understand what the deal is with these clowns. I thought about this, though. Like, so if you don't know, if you've been living under a rock, people are dressing up as scary clowns and then just kind of going around freaking people out, just standing there staring at people.
Right.
And then one clown got shot. Like, literally, a clown got shot, which he deserved for being creepy. Like, don't go be creepy if you don't want to get shot. That's my rule.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Why would you go around and be
just freaking people out for no reason?
Dressed as a clown anyway.
Yeah. So, it's made me think about something. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have actual clowns that would just show up and scare you.
Right.
But what we did have, and maybe some people remember this, I don't know if this was just a Houston thing or nationally or what, but when I was in like elementary and junior high school, I remember hearing these stories about this gang called the Smurfs. You probably don't know about this.
I don't.
Dude, you're too young for this. But they used to tell these stories about the Smurfs and how the Smurfs would just go around from school to school shooting kids. Like, they were like, if you wore a certain color or if you were outside at noon, the Smurfs were going to show up and shoot you. Like, this was a thing that went around that, like, it would have us terrified. It was all, of course, nonsense. It was ridiculous. It was kind of like the don't flash your brights at another car. That's a gang initiation. It was urban legend. You know what I mean?
All right, right.
These clowns are real. This is real damn fear.
And this is becoming a phenomenon? I hope not.
Yeah, no, like I heard they're moving into like college campuses and they're showing up in towns and outside of schools. And
what are they doing?
Who knows, man? People are weird. You understand? Like, first of all, if you have enough stuff to dress up as a clown, you probably aren't altogether there to begin with. But if you're dressing up as a scary clown, that's even worse. And then I got a tweet from where'd it go? I lost it. Oh, Dre on 290. Dr. Dre on 290 said he just wanted my thoughts on the clown rage, which I don't think it's rage. I think it's fear. But he had a great point, which was Halloween is going to get buck wild with all these freaky clowns. Like, man, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, yeah. This is like the worst timing. The worst timing.
First of all, I'm not putting out candy this year. I did this last year in my neighborhood. We just moved into this new neighborhood. And I went out and I bought, because it's a big neighborhood. And so I went out and bought probably $150 worth of candy. Like, I bought the big bags from Sam's.
And you're going to eat all of it.
And, dude, not one kid showed up to my house. I literally ate the last Whopper 2 weeks ago. I'm not even making that up.
Wow.
I had to eat all that candy. I gave some away. First of all, there was some Almond Joys, so I just threw all those away. Because those are the worst candy on the planet. No, that's the worst candy on the planet. But, like, so I'm not doing the Halloween thing. But I'm telling you right now, even if I did, let some scary-ass clown show up on my door. There's going to be some gun waving that happens. I'm telling you right now.
See, that's why they're just ruining it for everybody.
Hell no.
They're ruining it for clowns. There's no way you're going to see.
There is. Like legitimate clowns that are out there just making a clown living.
Yeah.
They can't do that
now.
Clowns. They've ruined it for them. I got another tweet that somebody asked me. They wanted to know, this was from Mark on Twitter. He said, hey, man, are you going to get the $10 raffle tickets for the Nike Air Mag self-lacing shoes for $4,500 that were worn by Marty McFly and Back to the Future? Hell no. First of all, I'm not wasting $10, although I do have a pair of Jordan 11 Space Jam, so I probably paid about $4.50 for those.
Did
Which
you
was
really?
Stupid.
That's
yeah.
How much are they?
It was well. That's back when I had a job. I could afford that. Right. Yeah, they were stupid. But man, I don't even remember what those shoes look like. But no, I'm not getting in that. And there's no way.
I bought a few pair of Jordans, but I stopped a long time ago as well. I was paying like I think it was like 160 to 200 a pair.
Oh, you were getting those knockoffs.
Yeah.
Those replicas on eBay. You got Jordans with a peg leg. The jump man's got like a wooden leg.
Hey man, they were nice to me.
Yeah, that's all right though. It's you, but man, I gotta look up I need someone to send me a picture of what those Marty McFlys look like. But $4,500? That's ridiculous.
That's worse than the Yeezy.
You never seen them?
No. I mean, I've seen the movie, but I don't remember what they look like.
So they're like a tan suede, kind of a more than a high top. And they lace themselves kind of.
Yeah.
That's Nike's new technology, is that lace your own shoe.
Is it? But see, they're saying those are on raffle for like you can get a $10 ticket and they're like worth $4,500.
So the thing is, the McFlys are separate now. They got the more affordable version, but any shoe that needs batteries, just so that it can lace itself,
yeah,
is probably a little bit.
But don't those ones that light up need batteries too?
I would assume so.
Well, you have a couple, right?
I do not.
All right.
Travis does because we told we I said with the back end like that he needs tail lights.
Yeah.
So the shoes have that built in.
Oh, well, see, I need to look these up. So you're serious that they are actually coming out with shoes that lace themselves?
Yes.
This is a real thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I have a pair, not like that. But
Wait a minute.
You don't have the ones that lace themselves.
That's called Velcro, Nick. That's called Velcro.
Yeah, yours is described right, Velcro.
You're talking about like they literally tight? Like they literally like...
No, you go to the Nike website, you can see it, and I hate giving them the plug like that, but it's true. You All put right. When you put your foot into the shoe when the batteries are charged... Literally, there's like these coils that will self-absorb to your feet, kind of like and constrict and make it like a glove.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can see Nike do something like that, though.
All right, I'm going to read some text, too. I don't want to forget everybody on the text line. Thank you for reminding me, Nick, to read these. Someone said, you're not going to like this one, Joel.
Okay.
Someone said, do you still think the SEC is down this year? 7 teams in the top 25 and 3 in the top 10. Valid point.
But and very, very valid point. But again, from week to week, the ratings are going to change. But overall, just the way they started, which is when I made the statement, the SEC was down. Still, we'll talk at the end of the year. But just like the Big Ten, because they took some hits, they're going to lose some teams. They had a lot of teams early. Yeah. But we'll see how they finish at the end when all is said and done, because they still have to play each other. Well, when they start playing each other, you're going to start knocking people off.
And you still have to get through the Aggie fade. I mean, the Aggies are notorious for fading down the stretch. They started off 5-0 or 4-0 the last five seasons.
I still expect them to lose at least 3 or 4
games. Well, they're going to lose against Tennessee. I can tell you that now. And then it's all going
to
be
down. You think the Aggies are going to lose to Tennessee?
Yeah.
I don't.
You watch.
I don't. Although,
as a lifelong Aggie fan.
I know you are.
Let me tell you what this team is going to do. They're going to drop this game against Tennessee. They'll lose a game they should win. They'll win a game they should lose, but they'll still end up fading down the stretch. They won't finish in the top 25. So that's another SEC team that you can go ahead, SEC team that you go ahead and count out of being ranked at the end of the year.
And it's then just, you, then that behooves me to ask you the question. We started talking about Charlie Strong yesterday, but then does Kevin Sumlin keep his job?
I think so. I think he'll keep it for one more year, as long as they make a decent bowl. But I think after next year, that's it.
Not if Tom Herman's available.
Tom Herman's not going to the Aggies.
You don't know that.
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll see. It could be interesting. You could have the two biggest schools in the state of Texas both looking for head football coaches.
True.
Based on how you think things are going to go
possible.
For the Aggies,
if they
and
fade.
Based how things look for for Texas, I seem to think, my personal opinion is the Aggies will beat Tennessee because it's at home on Saturday. But it should be interesting because they still have the guts of their SEC schedule in front of them.
Somebody tweeted out that the Aggies are 1-5 against top 10 teams, including home games. in the last couple years.
2-6 is just as easy to get to.
Someone said our intern just hung up on Odell Beckham Jr., which I find that hard to believe. Someone said, this is all text, Minnesota has not established the run all year and they're 4-0. That was from Casino Joe. I just think Brock and V have a little better communication. Someone wants to, what's going on 45? Dude, this ain't the traffic text line. Get the hell out of here.
We'll have Tiffany Terrell in just minutes with your traffic update.
Somebody said all the clown stuff that we were talking about was just a publicity stunt for the new It movie.
Yeah, I saw that text.
I'm telling you, it's all fun and games till someone goes down on that.
Who's going down on a clown? What?
If someone dresses like a clown, especially if it's not actually on Halloween night, thinking they're just trying to be funny for a Halloween party, that's when you're going to see the next police shooting.
Saying, somebody said something. There was a clown arrested in Atascocita for chasing kids today. Well, see, now that's the thing. You can't, if you're going to be creepy, you got to just stand there because you start chasing people. No. That's how you get shot.
And this wasn't just local. This is a national story that's been legs by the week where it's copycat crimes. Yeah. And people start hearing about, there was an apartment complex somewhere in South Carolina and a guy was running around behind apartment complex with a clown suit on, becomes, next thing you know, there's a guy harassing kids and then everybody's like, I can do that too. And now you're going to find it's all fun and games till someone gets shot.
Yeah, and Lamont said, because I was telling this when you weren't in the room, but I was talking about correlating that, you know, kids are dealing with actual clowns showing up and just staring at them in their playgrounds. And when we were coming up, I don't know if you had this, where you grew up in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
We had this story about the Smurfs. Did you guys go through that where they talked about this gang called the Smurfs that would go around shooting kids on playgrounds?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we went through that. Lamont backed me up. He said, I swear he was just telling his buddy the clown story. It reminds him of the Smurfs. And that growing up, he thought the Smurfs only terrorized his neighborhood. But after becoming an adult, he realized that that myth was everywhere. So, yeah, thank you for validating that, Lamont. I sometimes feel like when I bring these things up, just because I'm weird and remember it. Yeah, people are like, that's made up. No, it's a real thing. Like, we literally thought there was a gang called the Smurfs that were killing people. And Lauren Pope said she's holding out that this A&M 5-0 start is different. Well, Lauren, if you've been an Aggie fan for your entire life, you know better.
And it's Lauren, you also know that there's a Gargamel lurking out there as well as the Smurf. So please beware. Time to get back to some more fun and games. But guess what? We're going to do this for you every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, today 1 to 3. Because, in fact, we are ESPN 97.5 FM. Each and every day,
true play away. ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
When sports meets the Smurfs, we get a Tuesday afternoon in H-Town. It's Barry and Joel, Nick behind the glass. We're here till 3 o'clock, and we are talking about a lot of things, including your favorite cartoon characters turned gang members. We're talking about sending the clowns. We're talking about Vikings, Texans, and much more as we get ready for what should be one heck of a showdown come Sunday when the Texans have a big test against the undefeated Minnesota Vikings. But we have much more to get to. I guess under the category, Barry, that you and I were talking about in our pre-show meeting, and we kind of throw the Rockets into this as well, Nick, even though you went to the game. If a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it or see it, did it really fall at all? The Rockets have begun the preseason. And, oh, by the way, they play again tonight at home again. Are you going, Nick?
Yeah,
it's against the New York Knicks. Yes?
Yeah, I might go.
You might go.
Why?
I think Barry's going to join me.
I think that's not happening.
Child, please.
Preseason basketball, baby.
Man, I can't think of anything I would rather look at less than preseason basketball.
Paint dry.
I would still rather watch paint dry.
Depends on what color it is.
I mean, I'm going to go home and like fertilize my yard and pull weeds.
Joel,
and
you're not even going to flip through the channels, maybe just catch a glimpse of the game?
Why would I do something like that when I can fertilize Barry's lawn?
Yeah.
For those that know, no. But at the same time, the other thing is the Major League Baseball playoffs start tonight.
Yeah.
And for most people in Houston, Texas, it's like watching paint dry or not being in the woods to hear a tree fall. That's what it amounts to in this city. And it's something that I've thought about over and over that you guys being Houstonians can relate to and talk to me about. Houston is passionate about sports. They're intelligent sports fans. But for some reason, unless the Astros are knee-deep in the postseason, no one cares. Why?
It's been their history. I mean, I remember, you know, I was actually looking for that article about when it happened. I think it was in the Ranger series. And then I actually caught up and found a like an article from like the early 90s when they were playing in the Astrodome, and they're in the playoff race, and there was literally like 8,000 people there or like 7,000 people there. And it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just our history.
It is. It
doesn't make it right.
No, and I've said it before and on this show, but Houston is a commuter, not a commuter. It's a destination city. People move here a lot.
Like, right.
It's really hard to find a native Houstonian. I mean, it's a city just filled with carpetbaggers, and
I'm looking at one right behind the glass.
No, he's not. Are you a native?
Yeah.
See, you'd be the carpetbagger, Joel.
No, but you said it's hard to find a native Houstonian.
Yeah, there's that. Like, we're it. Like, in this whole city block, we're probably the only two.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I mean, I meet as many people that
are.
I go
down the hall and find another one.
I meet as many people that are not from the city that are. And I it's fine. I mean, that's what makes this city great, is it's a melting pot. But you're also going to get a lot of fair weather fans that they'll root for the home team if they're winning, but they also have their allegiances to their hometown team or maybe the team they grew up with if they weren't from a sports city. And it's not going to be a Houston team more often than not.
So but the definition either. Then, are you a sports fan or are you just the local sports team fans then? Because maybe I'm giving the city too much credit as being just legitimate sports fans that care about sports, when basically what you're telling me is unless the home teams are in it, they're done.
Think about it this way. You moved here from Milwaukee, right?
Via Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when you went to Portland, were you still you're still a Packers fan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're still a Brewers fan?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you Bucks fan?
For sure, more than ever now. Let me just say that.
But so we'll just use baseball as an example. When the Astros are playing well and in the playoff hunt, are you
going?
I'm
a huge Astros fan.
Are you going?
I've already said, basically right now the Astros are it's weird, but it's true. The Astros, to me, are my favorite baseball team now.
Okay.
I grew up Red Sox and Brewers, and I got here, and I just the style of play and the guys on that roster and the likability factor as well and the ballpark and everything else, I'm a huge Astros
fan. You're probably the
Astros
wrong.
Astros are my number one baseball
but
team.
But you're probably the wrong guy to use because you also grew up a baseball fan. Like, you play ball in college.
Yep,
and so,
yep.
So
you're
more of
yes.
a, yeah, you're more of a baseball fan than I think most people, like,
but
hardcore fans
point.
Are.
In a city where you can play baseball year-round, you don't have just pure baseball fans that are geeked about the playoffs starting
tonight.
Football
country, man. It's football
country.
And
you can be both.
No, I guess people don't feel that way, but this is a football city, football
state. But
there's
a lot of cities like that where they're just one sport. They're not all three sports.
Yeah.
It's around the country like
that. I mean, you go to Indiana.
Indiana,
yeah. You think they're talking football or baseball? Ooh, this basketball year-round. That's it.
Indiana's still Colts fans.
Well, they got the Colts, though. Yeah.
Because I can tell you, in Chicago and Milwaukee in the upper Midwest and in Minneapolis, they're four sport fans and they follow them all.
Well, the fourth one is dumb.
Hockey.
Oh, I thought soccer.
No, hockey.
Hockey's a sport?
Hockey's huge up there, obviously. And you know it's a sport. You're just hating on it because
it doesn't even have a ball.
The arrows are gone and they took their puck and went elsewhere.
Yeah,
and
they went to Minnesota. How can hockey be a sport?
There they go. They went to Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, where even less people can care about them. But honestly, if the Texans make the playoffs, are you going?
Of course, sure.
But if they don't, are you?
I'm still dialed into the playoffs because the Packers are going to be there.
Okay, but I'm just telling you, that's what happens: is the out of town people that move here will go when there's hype, but they're not going to go if the teams aren't, you know, at the peak of what they're doing. So if the Astros are just sneaking in,
let's use Nick as an example as a bona fide Houstonian too. Nick's so passionate as a sports fan, and I'm going to give Nick sports fan, not Houston sports fan, that Nick went to the Texans game on Sunday afternoon, and then subjected himself to a frontal lobotomy by going right to a basketball preseason game against the Shanghai Sharks because he's just a fan of sports.
See,
Astros, not so much. I mean, I'll go to an Astros game.
Oh, okay.
I'll go to an Astros game, but I am part of the problem.
You are.
I struggle. I love the
ball. You're just not a baseball fan?
I'm not the biggest baseball fan, no. But I do, I do enjoy watching the Astros just like everybody else late if we're in the playoff picture and if they're in the playoffs. But that's about it, honestly.
I just, you know what, because I've fought it forever. I've heard the moniker of fair weather fans in Houston all the time. And I'm like, no way.
Yes.
Come on. But
yes.
It just keeps coming back. And then when you realize, like, the two things that are taboo, not only for sports talk radio, but for Houston fans in general, don't talk baseball and don't talk college basketball. They're just like,
eh. Oh, you can forget college basketball.
Yeah, college basketball.
I think we should talk college baseball.
Which a lot of people, again, I would think because it's a year-round city and because you've got Wayne Graham and the Rice Owls who are perennial favorites for the national championship, and U of H has got a good program, I would think people would be interested in college baseball too, and they're not. So I don't get it. And here's a great guy to ask to back up my sentiment that in places in this country, there are people that do follow all four sports all the time. My man, Chi-Tone Moe, who is not only a friend of the family, he's now moved up to a full-time beanbag chair with arms, is joining the show again. And Mo, because of where we're from, we follow all sports, but give it to me straight. What do you got?
Hey, Chi-Tone Moe here. Like you said, yes. A true fan, a prime example, I'm a Chicago Cubs fan.
Knew that was coming.
Die hard, true and through. Chicago White Sox went to the World Series. I didn't watch. That's not my team. Now, I kept up with it, but did I watch and go, oh, well, I'm a Chicago, and so I got to show my support and support them? No, I didn't. A true fan rides or dies with their team. Now, when my team is out, I will watch, but I'm not going to go supporting somebody else's team. I'm not going to go rooting for another team because, oh, I'm a Texan, so the Texans are out, so I'm going to root for Dallas or, you know,
no,
any
but
of the
you'll
other
watch.
That's
my point, Mo. I mean, my point is the baseball playoffs tonight, okay? And the Cubs are not playing. But will you watch because you're a baseball fan? That's my question.
Oh, most definitely. I'm a sports fan.
There you go.
I will watch golf, hockey. I mean, okay, two things I won't watch. I won't watch cricket and I won't watch bowling. But other than that, you name it, I'm watching.
I'm from Milwaukee. I'll watch bowling because it's the bowling capital of the world, but only if I have to. But cricket, I'm out.
Well, no, bowling pisses me off because I'm an avid bowler, and it's one of those things that I can still do. So I don't like watching it. It's one of those, man, that's one of those things. I played, like a lot of guys, I played football, I played baseball growing up. I'm 46 now, so those days are behind me. But bowling is still that one thing that I can do, and I don't like watching it because I'm sitting there watching like, man, I could have done that or I could have almost done that or done better.
I mean, Barry feels the same way about that for a lot of other sports. But, I mean, bowling is this thing that's passed him by because it's too athletic right now.
That ball's heavy.
See? And heavy balls have to be washed.
Bowling needs that.
Raheel will say with just warm
bowler?
Water.
Who was that crazy bowler that went crazy at the championship like his last year or something? Do you know what I'm talking about?
How McDiddle. I don't know. That sounds like a bowling name.
Yeah, well,
the Big Lebowski. I mean, you got... I don't know.
Well, I mean, his little rant went crazy on ESPN.
Yeah.
I forgot his name, but...
Well, I know the guy. There's the real flamboyant guy. But Mo's right. I mean, but I think it just... I guess what we're doing is we're drawing a line between sports team fan and true sports fan in terms of their fandomonium and their following. But what are you? Are you a sports team fan? Are you a sports fan? Can you be both?
Put it this way. If I wasn't doing this show, if I wasn't in sports talk radio, the chances of me watching half the sports that I watch now are slim. And I'm a sports fan. I love sports, but I'd watch an Aggie game. I'd watch the Texans game. I might catch one, maybe two Astros games a week, and it's about the same for the Rockets, and not go to any of them. But that's different now. Well, except when the Rockets play the Washington Generals or the Shanghai Sharks or whatever it was
you
went to.
You're definitely going to those.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, but the world of porn would have more eyes on it, wouldn't
Boy,
it?
Boy, wouldn't it.
There
right now,
you have it.
Right now, I'd be crashing the Pornhub servers.
The eyes have it, and it, they're
especially
dotted.
With no
and in
job.
That case, they're dotted. ESPN, 97.5 FM.
Let's get on.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, about 90 minutes into a two-hour show as we're only doing two instead of three because we're turning it over to Dave DeLotti for the funeral services. That is the final hour of baseball in Houston for the fans that are just fans of teams. Their home team, the Astros, not in the postseason, which starts tonight. We started talking about that in the last segment, carrying over to this segment in which Barry, who always has his fingers on the pulse of social media and otherwise, has been monitoring the airwaves to let us know what people think of what we're thinking about.
Got some text. Somebody texted in, my favorite clown has to be Dr. Roxo, the rock and roll clown. I have no idea who the hell that is. Somebody saying that they agree with me about the local teams or when they're good, it's easy to get caught up in it. What else? Let's see here. Oh, somebody said Pete Weber. Or PDW is the bowler who went crazy after winning another U.S. Open. That was from Cowboy Bill. Somebody said, unless you have no life or are involved in sports as a career, there is no way you should have time to watch preseason basketball and every sport possible. Nick.
You bite your tongue.
You have no life,
Rockets,
my man.
Preseason basketball is
amazing. I got to tell you, there's no more bigger joy in my Mudville world than not having to watch preseason basketball anymore. I can tell you that. I was force-fed preseason basketball for almost 30 years, kids.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Kill me now.
Yeah, or just pick your butt hairs out one at a time with a tweezers.
And then Dr. Dre on 290 said, wait. So did I hear that Pac-Man Joe is going to fertilize Barry's yard? But is he going to mow the lawn? We need to know. You know what? This is not the kind of tweets that I need.
And by the way, that's inside disgusting. Joke. But when nature calls, you would understand the joke a little better.
That's disgusting, sir. Lamont said the Smurfs beat up his principal in the fourth
Which
grade.
Is amazing. That's awesome. Not and, that the principal got his ass kicked, but I mean.
This is so good. Dr. Dre said that the Smurfs made his bus have a blowout. I can see where this is going now. The Smurfs chased off crossing guards
if
for
Dr.
Like
5 Dre's talking
miles.
About blowouts, he can actually relate to the inside joke.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So anyway, baseball starts tonight, Barry.
Yes.
And for those that care because Super they're excited. Fans of the sport, which you and I believe are,
yes.
And Travis is, Nick is not. But here's my argument. The fact that I love the wild card, right?
Uh-huh.
And I love the fact that the more teams are qualifying for the playoffs based on the wild card. But I don't think that you should play 162 and qualify for the playoffs and then be one and done if you don't win that first game. I think that it should be a best of three game series. I think it should be a shorter series like the NBA used to do, where the opening round is a 5-game series, the rest are sevens. But at least you know the right team has every ample opportunity to win it. Whereas in a 1-game playoff, you either get a hot pitcher or some guy that's out of his mind hot with the bat for one night, and you could catapult yourself into a divisional series instead, and you might not get the right team in it. But in a best of three. The team that's waiting is still going to have their best pitcher on ample rest waiting to go, but at least you can be a little bit more sure that between the two teams that qualified, you got the right team going forward.
All right. I'll see your best of three and raise you because what if now you're basically putting this whole rotation through another game. So now these arms that are already tired of 162 games, they've got to go and pitch at least one more time before they move on to the next round. Is it fair to make them go through almost another rotation again?
Well, if it's not, then win the damn division so you don't have to worry about it.
Well, but that's why they have the 1-game playoff. You know what? Because if you look at it like tonight, you very well could see Baltimore going with, you know, 3 innings from their starter and then just start digging into that bullpen.
Their setup and closer is not going to be ready for game one. If they win the game tonight,
last year didn't the Astros pitch Keuchel?
They pitched him in the 1-game, but then he wasn't ready for game one of the divisional.
Right, but now imagine you have to move that back to your third, fourth, or fifth starter because you've gone through the rotations for games one,
so
two.
So there's a price to pay,
at least two games,
and there's an advantage for winning the division. It's still there, but at the same time, you don't get one and done after grinding it for 162 and qualifying and. And you know what? That's where you can say, okay, you get the advantage because you won the division. And from the team that's going to be at the slight disadvantage, that's what makes it tougher. But that's why, look, in football, I mean, and it's obviously different because you don't have series, but it's always the hot team. If you're the hot team coming into the playoffs, like the Royals or the Astros last year were, when they were both hot, you just kind of look at them and go, they should be able to persevere if they got to burn through at least one, if not two more starters than just a one-game playoff. But I hate the fact that you got a team that, you know, like, say, for instance, in the American League East, I mean, the two teams come out of there. Three teams qualify for the playoffs with the Red Sox, the Orioles, and the Blue Jays. They were all grinding, and it could have been anybody's division. So to have two teams going at it for just one game, one goes on, the other goes home. I'd rather see them grind it out for three, and then you really know that the, you know, may the better team win, and then you move on.
I like that though. I love the fact that it all comes down to this, because that was kind of the point, right? Like the wild card is, you know what? It's the fourth best team, right? So what they're saying, or the fifth best team. So they're saying, look, what we're going to do is we're going to throw you a bone, mm-hmm. and we're going to let you see who's going to represent as the wild card team. And that's fine, but you've got to go and win this one game. I mean, that's how they settle. If there were ties in the past, it was a one-game playoff just to see who would get the wild card. Well, this is what it does. They're just expanding it to keep more teams involved, like, you know, stringing us along as fans like they did the Astros fans this year, where they felt like there was hope, even though there really wasn't. But I don't mind
it. That's because you wrote them off for dead way early.
No. Did they win? Are they in the playoffs?
But you wrote them off for dead, what? And then you had to keep coming back going, I wrote them off for dead, and here they come
Who
again.
Who was right, though?
No, you wrote them
they
off.
They were dead. The closest they came to the division was 2.5, and they never even made it
that
into the wild card position.
Right. They weren't
it's
dead.
That's because
they were
not
still
in the playoffs.
Relevant. They were still relevant and in the middle of it, right down to the bitter end.
Not if you watched the team.
They weren't officially eliminated until the third to last game of the regular season.
Come on, man. They were officially.
That's fact.
They were officially eliminated when Keuchel went south. That's when they were officially eliminated.
I think they were actually almost officially eliminated when they started off April the way they did.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Then when your man love for Ken Giles started, all went south after that.
Ken Giles is a fine American. I did go back and look at their month-by-month performance for the mm-hmm. Astros. You mm-hmm. ready for this?
I'm ready.
April 7 and 17. May 17 and 12, June 18 and 8. They were turned it on.
Red hot in June.
July 13 and 12. August 16 and 13, September, October, when it counted, 13 and 16. So I think that May and June just took it out of them, man. They at wore them out. They went 35 and 20 over that stretch, and then they faded.
When you take it the beginning and the end, the middle don't count.
Nope. A couple of texts. Somebody said, have a top AL team and the top NL team get a bye. Have two wild card teams do the best of five. That was from Jed. And then someone said, you want a chance to advance? Win your division.
That's what I
Case
said.
Case closed.
But well, I also don't like a one-game playoff. I like to have a little bit more of a chance for either team, and because in that one-game playoff, there's only one home team. At least give one home game. Even the WNBA gave one home game, at minimum of one home game, to the other team.
It should be in a neutral field.
Well, then we'll go to Milwaukee and blow the whole thing out. Why don't we do that? Because Milwaukee needs more sports. At least they follow them even when their team's not in them. Oh,
wow.
And on that note, ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blake, Barry Laminack for one final segment before we turn it over to the funeral that is Dave DeLotti's baseball show. And as we were talking about before the break, we were talking about the sports fandemonium. We were talking about, in some ways, if your team's out of it and you're a home team kind of person, then you don't actually follow the rest of the sport through their playoffs. But in some cases, too, maybe you're just a sore loser. Maybe the Astros are out and you're ticked off, and that's why you won't watch. And on that note, Barry, sore losers are not people that we are very fond of around here. But there's one in particular who likes to soak up the attention and the limelight, or at least let the people talk when media types, as they like to call them, go off when his third-string quarterback waxes a team that has a little sentimental value to those that are fans of teams here in Houston, Texas. But one Bill Belichick, as good as he is when he wins, may not be quite the same guy when he takes it in the shorts.
He's not. I mean, did you see the handshake that he gave to Ryan after the Bills game?
I did.
What a piss-poor display of sportsmanship. I mean, the dude, if you're going to win, if you're going to be a good winner, You have to learn how to be a good loser.
Mangini, same thing.
Yeah,
it goes back to what he did when Mangini. Even these are when the guys are disciples of him and his system and got jobs basically because of him. You would think that he could be just a little more friendly, even though every dog has his day. They played terrible.
Yeah.
They got shut out for the first time in God knows how long, and I know it's been a long time, but. At the end of the day, you tip your cap and go, hey, you know what? Maybe we see you again, but on this day you win, you shake your hands, nice game.
I would have taken it. I would have taken the opportunity to be like, congratulations, you beat a third string quarterback. Good job, buddy. But I would have stood there in the pocket like a man and shaken his hand and looked him in the eyes and said, congratulations, good game, coach. But Belichick can't do that, which, you know, they always say, show me a good loser and I'll show you a good loser. It's not about being a good loser. It's about being respectful.
Wait. Show me a good loser and I'll show you a good loser.
Show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. Someone that we lost. No big deal.
I got that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's – so I'm not saying be a good loser. I'm just saying at least be classy enough to be able to shake the man's hand, look him in the eyes, tell him congratulations, and walk off. Because, you know, he's out there – see, he sticks around for more than a half a second like he did with Ryan when he's winning, you know. So, I mean, I don't know.
The thing is, you're right.
I've always hated that.
If you blinked –
he's gone.
He missed it.
Yeah.
And before that happened, he took it out on electronics.
Which I'm fine with. You could throw a tablet.
He took that tablet and I know that, you know, again, this is the spoiled athlete, coach, professional sports environment that people live in, but he took that tablet and give it the old heave-ho on the sidelines, tried to hit it in the basket.
As Rex Ryan is, he just also comes off as a guy that I would just hate to lose to, though.
I like Rex Ryan.
Not to defend Bill Belichick, but it's just that I love Rex Ryan too. But I bet you if I was another coach, I would hate to lose to Rex Ryan.
Well, you don't think everyone hates to lose to Belichick?
Yeah.
My first thought as a coach would be he probably cheated. That would be my first thought.
Rex has taken it in the shorts so many times to Belichick that he's got to gloat a little bit on the times when he actually gets the best of him. That's part of the deal. Yeah. Every dog has his day.
Yeah, I totally think he should have given a legit handshake, but I don't know. I just think Ryan has this way about him. I don't know. Like, if I was a coach, I would just hate to lose to him.
I like it because he doesn't take it. I mean, a lot of people say that Belichick takes it too seriously, and then, of course, the supporters of Belichick say that's why he wins all the time. But at the same time, I like Rex because Sexy Rexy doesn't take himself too seriously. He gets tattoos. He talks about his gastro bypass surgery. He poses as a reporter from Buffalo so that he can ask Patriots players questions. I mean, he has fun. You know, he realizes life is too short to not have fun, and he enjoys himself. That's why I like him.
There's nothing wrong with it. And somebody chimed in on the text saying a gracious loser is the term. Yeah, or just classy. Just have a little bit of class in victory or defeat and be man enough to stand in the pocket and shake the person's hand and look at him and say, good game. Hey, we'll get you next time. We'll see you in a couple weeks with Tom Brady. Something. But he just literally like slapped his hand on the way by. It was so it was just BS, man. Man enough to go out there and own the loss.
Because we keep things in the course of the topical mind frame that we've been in for the last almost 2 hours, don't be a clown, even if you're not running around apartment complexes and jogging paths. I mean, you look like a clown when you shake hands like that.
Yeah.
And back on the Ryan thing, Nick, the one thing we've talked about, like Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks made Charles James a household name.
Yeah.
Hard Knocks made Rex Ryan a likable guy. Before that, Rex Ryan was this, you know, expletive talking, always, you know, looking tough, you know, commander in chief of the Baltimore Ravens defense, which again, I'm bringing full circle, Barry. But at the same time, people didn't know a whole lot about him. But coming out of that Hard Knocks and how he liked to have fun and he yucked it up with his players and some of the pranks he pulled, people liked the well-rounded total package of who Rex Ryan was as a person with a sense of humor.
So now you put yourself in another coach and you see all that and everybody likes him and he comes off as extremely likable and then he punches you in the face and completely beats your team. How do you feel?
Are you Daryl Morey now? You want punches in the face or give people punches in the face?
Perhaps, but I'm just saying. If I see another likable guy that's just
these guys have coaches attention. Meetings in the off season. They do all these things. A lot of coaches respect the fact that yes, you're intense as can be when you're trying. You know, when you're in the heat of battle during the course of. But at the end of the day, you don't literally hate the other coach. And in most cases, or some cases, you may end up working someday with that coach, and that guy could give you a job. So that's why, you know, look, Josh McDaniels, Belichick did this to Josh McDaniels, but he hired him back in New England.
I think the up-and-coming coaches will act like they like you because they're trying to prove themselves. But if a guy who knows he's going to get another job elsewhere and he doesn't like someone in particular in that coaching staff, he ain't going
to. Wait,
there.
You gave me the Santa Claus. You gave me the oh-ho-ho. But at the same time, you got to believe that there are not coaches that are going to, unless there's like a real war of words and someone gets personal, a lot of these guys are going to be like, look, it's the players and that decide the game on the field. But at the end of the day, hey, look, especially if you're a divisional foe, we play you twice a year. We'll see you again. And who knows? You know, we may work together someday. So it's kind of like the NBA players or even in the NFL now, where it's a business. And so a lot of guys, as much as, and Keenan was talking about this, and so was Travis the one day, I asked him, I said, for all the crap talking that it looks like they're talking on the field, like Odell Beckham Jr. and Norman, how much of it throughout the league, on a game-by-game basis, do you really see? And he goes, a lot of it is, you see the heads moving, but they're really saying, hey, man, you got me there, but I'm going to get you back. And it's a lot of kidding and joking because at the end of the day, you may play with this guy someday.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But I don't know. I still doesn't take away from the fact that at the end of the day, all of those players, they go back and forth. A lot of them you'll see still shake each other's hands and talk afterwards. And Belichick just can't do that when he loses.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
He's a sore loser.
100%.
Somebody said on text that y'all talked hockey and preseason basketball, and then you said WNBA. There will be fines levied. That was from OU Mike. So we're all getting fined by OU Mike.
But Mike, it just shows that we're actually sports fans. We're doing a sports person a service, not injustice.
Didn't talk preseason basketball.
Yeah, we just mentioned
clowning
the fact
me for watching preseason.
And we were also
basketball.
Clowning the fact that look, if you had the time to watch preseason basketball, you got too much time on your hands. And we actually compared it to a tree falling in the woods that no one heard or saw. So Mike, listen a little bit more attentively. Some people would say listen with your ears and not your, and you'd figure out the fact that we were just shining.
You know what? You're going to end up having to block another person on Twitter. I saw you getting into
this last week.
What was that about?
I did.
What was that about? You and Shock. Shock has had to block somebody too. What the hell is going on with sensitive hosts?
Oh, no, not sensitive at all, because the thing is the fact that I will never do the cowardly keyboard confidence thing. I will never then try and engage and then block someone.
Yeah?
He blocked me.
Oh,
so then Trap got in the middle of it. Travis got into it. And then Travis started getting, like, annihilating him on Monday. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm getting that guy that got you, even though he only has 7 followers. But I'm like, okay, I was done with that
before. Oh, so he blocked you.
He didn't block me. Yeah,
okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, okay. See, Shock did it too.
No, yeah, Shock blocked somebody. I was like, dude, you can't do that. That's the weasel way out. You can't be blocked. Somebody's going to mess with you. Own it.
I agree. Yeah.
So you went after him, though, right?
I had fun with it.
All right.
Yeah, I had some great one-liners. Nick will tell you that.
Good.
Speaking of that, hey, Arnold Palmer, God rest his soul, the memorial was today. And because we want to commemorate the memorial of Arnold Palmer, Dave DeLotti is next to commemorate the funeral of the Houston Astros. He will talk baseball after this break. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Barry and I will be back from 1 to 4, ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.